In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Permit me to start with a question. Now, I'm going to pose this question to everyone. Think about it. How many times have you been kicked when you were down? By family members, relatives, friends, the world, laws, regulations, your priest, your church. Off the top of my head, I recall twice. And it was so heartbreaking too. I feel sorry for myself thinking about it. But I recall many times that I had ruthlessly done this myself, especially during my school years. We had this tradition, this habit, this ruthless habit, cruel habit, that when someone would trip and fall, we would put that person on show by crying out with a loud voice, "Ha ha, everyone saw you fall," and the person would be ashamed and just walk away. But you know what? We need a reality check. We need it every day, that life is cruel. Mankind is cruel and can be cruel. And one verse that comes to mind as I mentioned this is Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. If a woman or a mother forgets or abandons or deserts her infant, her child, that's cruel, that's ruthless, and does not love on a son of her womb, has no love for that child that's been born from her womb, even if these forget, I'm going to stop there. Even if these forget, that means this will happen. It will happen. Just Google Khaltu Google. Just search with Khaltu, ask Khaltu Google and find, and you'll find many cases where children were abandoned by their parents or their mother. As sad and as realistic that sounds, the second part of the verse is joyous and comforting. God goes on to say, "I shall not forget you. Behold, on the palms of my hands," meaning the care, the protection, "I have engraved you." Why? Because God is near to us than a father and a mother is. For he is our maker and creator. Hence, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus commands, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." So, beloved, God doesn't kick us while we are down. God doesn't give up on us when the world, even parents, siblings, teachers, employees, give up on us. And when I mention parents, I mean both biological and spiritual parents, your spiritual counselors, pastors or priests. Christ too, praise and glory be to his name, was foretold by the prophets, Isaiah, that he too would not do the same, kick us while we're down, pour salt in the wounds. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, he will not break off a fractured reed, and the lamp that flickers he will not extinguish until he will bring the verdict of innocence. That is to say, according to Marishu Dad, and I quote Marishu, I love his commentaries, along with St. John Chrysostom. So Marishu Dad was a bishop of Hadatha. Christ will not be hard or angered with those who have a feeble spirit, a weak spirit. He will not render powerless that strength that is left to them, but he will, listen to this, he will lead them back to virtue, good deeds with kindness. Now, as I mentioned, the prophecy was from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. And Isaiah calls the dimly burning wick, that is one whose oil is finished, almost about to give up, and where there is no greasy matter left at all for the wick to continue to burn. And this means when the people are about to be extinguished because of the affliction of captivity, talking about his people, talking about the Israelites, he will make them shine against their hope. He gave them hope. But looking at Christ, who was not crushed by death, and the only person that was not crushed by death, what comfort do we take from this? What rebuking do we receive? What instructions are we to be heeded? By this, we learn. If you are in a bad place in your life, drugs, gambling, alcohol, addictions, immorality, adultery or fornication, abominations, homosexuality, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, etc., and your conscience is eating you alive to the point that you wish to walk away. Yes, simply walk away from and turn to God, that is repent. Don't for a minute think, presume, be convinced, and be afraid that Christ will not accept you. Remember, he will not be hard or angered with those who have a feeble spirit. He will not render powerless that strength that is left in them, but he will lead them back to virtue with kindness. Just get up. Get up after admission to sin and transgression, like the prodigal son did, and start walking, headed to the house of your father. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus gives you this invitation. This is out there for all of us. Come unto me, all. Not come unto me, oh, all you who have halos. No, come unto me, those who have the halos or the horns and are wearied and bearing burdens. Come unto me. If you are wearied by the burden of sin and transgression that you are carrying, come unto Jesus Christ. He will not kick you when you are down. The world will, Satan will, your friends will, but Christ will not do this. He will not reject you. He will not ridicule you. Like Kasha Jenard would, those who would fall and trip and maybe even hurt themselves. He will not ridicule you. He will not reprimand you. He will rest you. He will seize you from your burden by his grace, by his spiritual gifts, provisions that are bestowed upon all through his church. What are these gifts, beloved? What are these gracious gifts that God has provided, if not repentance, forgiveness, absolution, cleansing through the best sacramental life of the church given by the priesthood? You know what Christ will do? If you are reluctant because you feel that you'll be ridiculed, you'll be rejected, don't. Rebuke Satan in Jesus' name now. If your conscience is eating you alive, as they say, because you know that the world has fooled you into thinking that this is right when it is an abomination, when it is a sin, when it is transgression before God. Just come to Jesus Christ. Come to the church. Come to the renowned physicians that is the priesthood, and they will, through Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, bring out the best robe, which is perfect clemency, perfect grace, perfect mercy and love and kindness. Now, to those who are in the darkness of heresy and error, it actually becomes a garment of adoption as children, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, through holy baptism. The priesthood of the church, the body of Christ, will place a ring upon your hand, which is the restoration of authority, of sonship, of heirship of all. You've walked away from your father. You've given up that sonship and the authority of sonship and heirship. Come back and the ring will be one more time placed on your finger. Because once we have been reinstated as true, faithful, obedient, pious children of God, we become heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. What he has, we have awaiting us. The church will put on new shoes. That is, the church will prompt you, will hurry you to increase in holiness and the evangelical work and the obedience of the word of God. The church would have had the fattened calf already killed and ready to be served, which is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note, Jesus called by others lamb. He's been called as a lamb of God, but he himself calls himself a calf, which refers to his humanity, the flesh that he has taken, our flesh, which is irrational and animal by nature. It dies, it decays, it needs to be fed. That has been all prepared. Everything is prepared for you, beloved. It's not like when you go to your neighbor's house or you go to your nana's house or you go to someone's house and you walk in and then they will offer you a dinner or lunch, but they may apologize and say, listen, I'll have it ready 10 minutes. 10 minutes, I'll have you your dolma ready to go. No, no, no. It's all ready. It's there for the taken. It is for you. It is for you to come and enjoy and to share in the gifts that God has given you. Because regardless of your situation now, your circumstances now, your sin now, when you come back to the church, through the church, this is what is offered for you, beloved. The body and blood, the cleansing, the final. See, first it was the garment, then the ring, then the shoes. It wasn't the shoes first. Oh, just the word of God. No, it was the ring first to be authorized to claim that you are a children of the word of God and the walking of the path of God. Then the garment. I'm sorry, first it was the garment, which is grace. Everything we receive is by the grace of God, not because of what we are, who we are. We are worth nothing when it comes to being without grace. The grace of God. Then the authorship or the authority that you are now the child of God. You will be raised on the tables of the mysteries of God, the sacramental services, the spiritual gifts of God. And finally, and that the shoes that you will be prompted to walk in holiness, in the paths of the word of God, the direction of God. And it closes with what? It ends and it stops at what? The body and blood of Jesus Christ. So what is the comfort that we receive from this? Comfort is that we are weak in the spirit, but that's not the end. The world may frown upon us. Again, family, relatives, friends. But it doesn't matter what the world says. It's all about Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. How are we rebuked by this? Do not ever, for 1 minute, disqualify any person from the gracious spiritual provisions of God. Do not deter people from listening to Christ's call and to pursue that calling. Do not, because Christ says and warns that if we are that type of a person, it would have been best for us for a millstone to have been hung on our necks and to have been cast in the depth of the sea. Whoa, that's alarming. That is the rebuking we get. Do not dare to say, this man will never. No. As opposed to that, we say, God can. If only this man turns to God, gives the heart to the Lord. And the instructions we get from this is that we are to lead people to this. We are to encourage people. We are to encourage our brothers and sisters, Christians or non-Christians. You know, I spoke about those who are in the era of heresy and darkness, that we bring them to Christ, because only through Christ there is the light, because Jesus is the light of the world. Praise be to his name. Lead people to Jesus Christ. Bring people to Jesus Christ. You know, I tell the youth, don't go telling people that you need to come to church when there is no relationship with Jesus Christ. Many walk into the church doors that don't have any relationship with Jesus Christ. They are there because there is a baptism, there is a commemoration of the dead, or there is the commemoration of the saints, and, you know, food's going to be served. And, you know, we need to bring people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, because when that relationship is rock solid, hard, built upon faithfulness and obedience, automatically, without saying, the Spirit will lead these people to the body of Christ, which is the church. So, beloved, what are you waiting for? If you're seeking repentance, forgiveness, absolution, and cleansing from your drug addiction, gambling, alcohol addictions, immorality, that is adultery or fornication, abominations, that is homosexuality, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, etc. If you are seeking repentance, forgiveness, solution, and cleansing, what are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God will save you from your past sins and transgressions and destruction and wrath and spiritual death, as he did to the Gentiles, recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Today is the day that God will set you on the path for good works. Oh, good works. Not just faith. God will set you on the path for good works, which God had from the first prepared that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Don't just read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and make your claim and your conclusion. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Today is the day. Today is the day that God will call you to holiness. If you remain in faithfulness, then you will receive the gracious gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Today is the day to return to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.